Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll start reading in verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, before we press on with our portion of Scripture for tonight, let's take care to remember what the message is that Paul is communicating to the church at Corinth. Who remembers what the thrust of the message is? Because if you don't remember what the thrust of the message is, then we're going to have a hard time building on that message, because that's exactly what the scripture that we just read will do. All right? He's finding fault with them for the divisions that are amongst them. But the divisions are the symptom of something that's deeper. Divisions are symptoms. What's the cause? Most Christians, if you ask them about this chapter, that's exactly what they'd say. Well, God's condemning divisions. Well, yes, he is. But if you left it at that, you'd be missing the real point. The divisions are the symptoms of a deeper problem. Yes? False doctrine. If you read chapter 3 in the first verse, that'll be a good hint for you. False doctrine, what's that? Lack of spiritual growth, carnality, superficiality. Kind of like today's Christianity. Kind of like what you'll see in too many fundamental churches. A mile wide and about an inch deep. Paul is warning against that. The spiritual divisions, or the physical divisions, the heresy, that's the right word for it, a party spirit. This is heresy, it's schism. It's but the symptom of an underlying lack of spirituality. They had not grown spiritually. And because they were carnal, by the way, what does the word carnal mean? Yes, it means meat, flesh, fleshliness. Now, Paul is warning something about something in the scripture that's leading up to where we're at tonight. That really is the underlying cause. Their fleshliness has caused them to do what? Which has resulted in schism. And he's warning them and straightly charging them against imbibing it. It's a deadly toxin. The wisdom of the world is one of a two-pronged thing that Paul warns against. The wisdom of the Greeks, or the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of the Jews, or the wisdom of the rabbis. Isn't it funny that he marks them down as being about the same thing? That's interesting, isn't it? Look at verse number 5 in chapter 2. Here's why he doesn't want the incursion of worldly wisdom. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There are so many people that have been talked into Christianity, given so many philosophical reasons that they ought to be Christians, that they have faith in the philosophy instead of in Christ. That's a horrible thing to promote, but Paul is warning against that very thing. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians is built upon what? What's the cornerstone of the Pauline epistles upon which all the rest are built? Romans. Romans is the cornerstone of the Pauline epistles, and this book builds upon the book of Romans. And what does the book of Romans have to say about wisdom, whether it be of Aristotle or Gamaliel? Romans 1, 2, and 3 deals with a subject. What is the content of Romans 1, 2, and 3? It's God's grand indictment against the race of Adam. Professing themselves to be wise, they did what? Became fools. Now he's warning the Corinthians, and he's charging them straightly, but he's becoming much more specific now. And he's addressing the church at Corinth, and thereby lost or saved folks. This is written to saved people, not to lost people. Now in verse number 12, he begins to build on what he's said previously, that the wisdom of the world, whether it be the wisdom of the Jews or the wisdom of the Greeks, ought never to be allowed into the church. He advances this. Verse number 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. What do you suppose he's talking about there in that clause? Now we have received not the spirit of the world. How does that relate to what we just got done going over? The wisdom of the rabbins and the wisdom of the Greeks is the spirit of the world. And he brought up, before, you were clean escaped from that. Why do you want to fall back into that? And he's saying, we as Christians have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. What is the world system called? John uses the word over and over and over. The cosmos. And what is the cosmos? It's a whole system that lies under the power of Satan and his lieutenants. Mankind is enthralledom to it, fallen man. And it contains a system of wisdom, knowledge, and philosophy. But it's all diametrically opposed to God. And Paul is making the argument, you once lived in that, that's what you were, but now you've been born again, and you don't want to try to grow spiritually and feed upon something that didn't give you the new birth in the first place, and it was toxic. What does Romans chapter 8 say about the natural man? I made a big point out of it when we went through the book of Romans, and I think it's lost on a lot of Christians. And it's, pardon? The natural man hates God. And that means every one of us in this room, our old man hates God. Make no mistake about it. Paul says it in absolutely crystal clear language. The mind of the flesh is death. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace in Christ Jesus. And because we tend to forget that, maybe we start thinking, you know, maybe we weren't really so bad before we got saved. And we end up with a low view of sin, which gives us a low view of the philosophies of the world, like maybe they're not so bad. And old brother Mealy Mouth, when he gets off the Bible and starts preaching out of the newspaper, well, that's just his opinion and it isn't so bad. Yes, it is. It's a deadly toxin, and Paul is warning against that. We didn't receive that spirit. That's the spirit that's in the world. And what are we in the world? The Scripture says that we're strangers and pilgrims in the earth. The Scripture says that our citizenship is in heaven. The Scripture says that we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the Jews. And he's warning the Corinthians, you've escaped from all this, don't relapse back into that. Don't substitute the wisdom of the Greeks and the wisdom of the rabbis for the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you suppose a fleshly person is going to do? Yeah, he's going to imbibe the wisdom of the world. That's why you need a warning against it. Verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, that's pretty good. What are the things that are freely given to us of God? Hint, it ties back to verse number 9. Remember the point we made when we covered verse number 9? You ask a lot of Christians, what's your favorite book in the Bible? Psalms. As soon as somebody tells me that, that instantly tells me we've got a baby Christian here. We've got somebody that doesn't understand verse number 9 and 10. Remember I asked the question, how much did Abraham know about heaven? How much did Isaac and Jacob know about heaven? How much did David know about heaven? How much would a spiritual Christian know about heaven? A whole lot. Psalms? Let's read verse number 9 again just to drive the point home. This warning is missed by so many. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Where did that verse come from? I know some of you have center margins in your Bible. Paul takes a quotation from the Old Testament. When it was said in the Old Testament, when God gave it to the Old Testament prophet, it was true. They didn't know those things. As far as the ordinary Israelite got in the wilderness was he could come up to the door of the tabernacle and only with a sacrifice, and that's as far as he went. He didn't know God. The priests that worked in the outer court of the tabernacle, they took care of the laver. They took care of the brazen altar. But they didn't go into the holy place. And the ones that went into the holy place, they took care of the table of showbread. They took care of the candlestick. They took care of the altar of incense. But they didn't go through the veil. Only the high priest, only one time during the year, and only with the blood of a sacrifice. Did he make an atonement for Israel? Psalms? Question for you, Christian, where are you right now? If you say 5312 Galley Road, that won't do. What does the Scripture say that you are already? You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. How many Christians fail to understand that Israel is an earthly people to whom were given earthly promises, and the church is a heavenly people, the bride of Christ, to whom are given heavenly promises? And when you start weighing the two, well, I'll let you decide. Verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Let's bring that back to verse number 10, shall we? But God hath revealed them unto... What did he reveal unto us that he didn't reveal to the Old Testament saints? All the stuff that's in the Pauline epistles. You suppose if David got a chance to trade places with one of you, would he do it? You better believe he would. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. A warning against superficial Christianity. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What's the only book in the Bible that promises you a blessing if you'll just read it? You don't have to do anything. Just read it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you suppose God wants you to know what's in Revelation? Do you suppose he wants you to know what's in the Pauline epistles? Verse number 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Let's parse this out, shall we? Verse number 13 again. Which things also we speak? Which things? It says, which things we speak? Which things? What's he talking about here? Yes, absolutely. The deep things of God. The things that can only be discerned by the spiritual man. Those things. Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. In a moment, he's going to tell you why man's wisdom couldn't teach these things. And he's backhanding the people that are causing the schism in the church and preaching a false doctrine and leading people away from the foundation, which is Christ. They're babbling on in terms of the world, but they're not communicating the truth of the Spirit. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not with the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What do you suppose would happen if you compared natural things with spiritual? Wouldn't you hate to put a jigsaw puzzle together like that? None of the pieces would fit. And then verse number 14, he tells you why. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Just finish reading the verse to me. Because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual knowledge cannot be understood by the natural mind. That's the little secret here. But the Corinthians now are being led away from spirituality in Christ into believing the doctrines that those causing the schism are bringing to them, and being led away from the spiritual things in Christ. And by the way, when we covered those that were creating the divisions, did we see that they came from two different sources? We already pointed that out. Who are creating the divisions? I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. the Judaizers, the philosophizers, and then there were some that were so spiritual that they were of Christ. Well, I think there's a denomination named that somewhere, isn't there? The Church of Christ. Sorry, Baptists. Verse number 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I don't think we ought to run away from this too quick. Who do you read the natural man to be that's spoken of in verse number 14? Oh, well, he just bored right in on it. I thought somebody would say, well, that's lost people. Do you think it's that saved people could do this? Yeah, the carnal mind. But the natural man, or the old nature, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Is there a part of a born-again believer that has spiritual discernment? Absolutely, the new man. So who are you going to let do your thinking for you? That's what it comes down to, isn't it? In our class on anthropology on Sunday nights, we're talking about the soul being the battleground between what? Paul describes it in Romans chapter 7. The spirit and the flesh, the new man and the old man, are engaged in a dogfight. Isn't it nice to know that he that begun the good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ? But it's not fun when you're going through it. Do you suppose these Corinthians were going through that too, and Paul is trying to cheer them on? I think so. Now we get to verse number 15. And this is something that Christians really need to understand, especially these days. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Can somebody tell me what that means? This is something you need to have hold of, Christian. This is a warning. And if you're wise, you'll heed it. But the... Yes, that's contained in there. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Mm-hmm. But the verse doesn't stop there. You got the positive part of it here. Go ahead, Brother Kirby. Wow. Amen. Now, why can't he be judged? Yeah, but this is talking about a different sphere of judgment here. You got to remember, there's this party in the church now that is trying to draw the church at Corinth off the foundation of Christ and onto the philosophies and wisdom of men. Do you suppose that there were a lot of people in the church looking at this and saying, I wonder what this is all about? I wonder if I should listen to Paul or I should listen to these teachers. Do you think they might have been swayed just a bit? Remember, these schismatics were very eloquent. What do we know about Apollos? Man, that guy could preach. Needed a little instruction to teach him what to preach, but he could preach. And what about Peter, Cephas? Man, he was the leader of the Jewish branch of Christianity, if you will. Paul says, no, there is no branch of Christianity. This is important. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That's cool. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Let me read this verse to you from the New King James. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Does that help? Mm-hmm. There's a powerful point here. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. They can talk until the cows come home and they have no idea what they're going on about. They don't understand anything in the spiritual realm. But you know, there's a lot of people that get spiritually bullied. They'll run into some primitive Baptist, dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist. And man, they'll tell them, well, man, if you don't believe the doctrines of grace, brother, I don't think you're even saved. These precious doctrines we've held for hundreds of years, they come down to us from John Calvin. Yeah, tell it to the Baptist he burned at the stake. You don't need to respond to peer pressure like this. A Christian is able to spiritually discern whether or not the Calvinist is right. And the same thing about the Arminians. Man, if you can't talk in tongues, I doubt you're even saved. Here comes this Arminian. Man, you didn't get the second blessing. You can't possibly be saved. You better run over here and join our little schism in the church. Can you see how people could be affected by this? People run down to the altar, teach me to talk in tongues. Teach me to roll on the floor. Teach me to cackle like a chicken. Man, I want to get the filling of the Spirit. They make it look so good and they have very eloquent spokespeople. But Paul is telling the Christians, use your spiritual discernment. Don't be bullied by anybody. They can't judge you, but you have the capacity to judge them. And that's the message for Christians today. You don't have to believe the first skull dump that comes along that starts attacking your system of belief. Now, I'm not the judge of whether or not another person is saved, but I see some things going on in churchianity today that would make me wonder if my name ain't Thomas. Amen? He's telling people, use your spiritual discernment. You have the equipment to know whether these people are right or wrong, but they don't have the equipment to know whether you're right or wrong. So what is he saying about these schismatics in the church? Paul went a little further than I just did. Scared to say it, aren't you? He said they're not saved in so many words. You can judge them, but they can't judge you. So don't be afraid of what they're saying. It doesn't matter how eloquent they are. Doesn't matter if they're elders. Doesn't matter if they're pastors. Doesn't matter if they're high priests. Doesn't matter if they came from the Church of Scientology. They can't judge you. So don't be afraid of them. Use the spiritual equipment that the Lord has given you, and then you'll know whether they're right or whether they're wrong. And if they're wrong, don't pay any attention to their judgment. And then just to make sure, that we got it. We got verse number 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Anybody have center margins? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, obviously, nobody. But look what's after the question mark. But we have the mind of Christ. Can we get hold of that? Let me ask you a question. Isaiah is the evangelist prophet of the Old Testament. Did Isaiah have the mind of Christ? He received what he received by revelation and under inspiration. But did he have the mind of Christ? If he'd have had the mind of Christ, what would he have known that he didn't know? Did Isaiah know there was going to be a church? Did he know there was going to be a bride of Christ? No. Do you know it? That's such a short sentence. And yet it's so huge. Did David have the mind of Christ? Abraham was the friend of God. Did he have the mind of Christ? Do you suppose the people causing the schism in the church had the mind of Christ? Can you see what Paul is saying? You've got the mind of Christ. Use it. You don't have to listen to them. You have a choice here. You can listen to me, or you can listen to them. Now, use your spiritual equipment to judge who's telling you the truth. Am I telling you the truth, or are they telling you the truth? He says the same thing in the book of Galatians, doesn't he? They had false teachers among them, and Paul says something that's really strong. You can believe these Galatianizers, or you can believe me, but I'll tell you this much. If anybody comes to you, even if it's an angel, and preaches another gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. That's strong, and it's direct. And it's a message that's sadly missing today, isn't it? No wonder the church is in a mess. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, we don't have that, but we do have the mind of Christ. What a wonderful thing. Paul is warning the Corinthians. Some of you were saved out of Judaism. Some of you were saved out of Hellenism. Some of you were subjects of Rome. Who knows who was there? But he's telling them you escaped from that. You've been born again. You're no longer citizens of this world. You're citizens of heaven. Why do you want to go back and imbibe their philosophies and stunt your spiritual growth? Let's start with the next passage now. Chapter 3 is going to build on what we've learned in chapters 1 and 2. Surprise, surprise. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were ye not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, did you get a load of this? Compare that with what's going on in chapter 1. This should get interesting. Verse number 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, by ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ's, and Christ is God's. Wow. As we read this, do you see a couple of different kinds of mistaken parties? Paul takes those that are causing trouble, or those that are in the valley of decision, and breaks them into two classifications there. Did you pick up what they were? This is going to be important. First, he rules out hero worship. Because don't you know, those that are causing the schisms in the church know hero worship works real good. But moving on past the hero worship thing, Paul takes the schismatics and he breaks them into two groups or classifications. Yeah, that's the right idea. Let's read verse number 11 and we'll let this gestate for another week. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What were the schismatics trying to do? Build on the wrong foundation, weren't they? Okay, now listen carefully. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed for fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now that that's sunk in, verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Can you see one party's going to suffer loss of rewards? But I see something really ominous for some others. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do pray now that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into this truth. Lord, we live in a day when there is a lot of spiritual intimidation. And Lord, we'd ought to understand that as your children, we do have the equipment to discern. And Lord, we'd ought to be using that instead of trying to refute the wisdom of the world with the wisdom of the world. Lord, teach us these things. Grow us spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen.